Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm really excited because we have a very special guest today that you're really going to enjoy. Before we begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to Speaker, iHeartRadio, and YouTube for sponsoring the show today. Thank you so much for everything you do. Today, we have an amazing guest, and her name is Laura Mingi, and she is the founder of the company Quintessa, and she is just an amazing individual. She has such a heart for helping people that have been hurt, especially in accidents when it comes to injury. And she has some great advice, and she has a program in her company that could help people when they are injured. So, tell us a little about yourself, Lauren. I'm really excited to have you on the show today. I think what you're doing is amazing, and I want to hear more about it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the time.
Oh, you're very welcome.
So I am first and foremost a wife and a mother to five kids, and then we've got about 200 employees, so I guess 205 kids is really what I feel like that I have, because I feel like my employees are, like family. But yeah, so like you said, I started Quintessa Marketing in 2016. We started with one employee. We've obviously scaled it pretty fast, pretty quick. And I really say a lot of my success is because of us generating so much revenue and then giving away half of our profit. So
Yes.
that's been something very different and unique that we do. We're trying to redefine what corporate responsibility looks like. So a lot
Yes.
of people want to give away money whenever they pass away, but I want to see the ripple effects that it creates while I'm still alive and really see that impact. And so that's really been the most exciting thing for us over the last few years.
Now that's called the 50 cents pledge. Is that what you do?
Yeah, so it's the Give 50 pledge. So what we've really started to do, for some people, it was almost like unfathomable for them to give away 50% of all their profit. They said they couldn't do it. And so what we said was just give away, 50%, whether it's for a day, a month, an hour, a week, just something. And then, watch what God can do and multiply that, right? And be able to see like that generosity come back tenfold.
Now, did a lot of other companies when you made it sound like that, then I think it takes the pressure. It sounds like it takes the pressure off, because when you say 50% to a lot of companies, they're like, oh my God, that's too much money. I can't do that. But when you talk about maybe 50% for the day or the month or the week or the hour, then people are like, oh, I could do that. That's not a problem. So did you have like a great turnaround once you kind of reworded like that to a lot of companies?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they look at us as kind of a highlight reel, if that makes sense. And I'm like, listen, when I started this, like the first check was $1,000. Like it was not what we are now. And so, but it also becomes contagious, right? And so, once we started telling people to think of it differently and to give it away for an hour or a day, then they were like, okay, that's something I can wrap my head around. So yeah, and then a lot of people started catching on. We've seen that. So at events that I speak at, we really try to ask everybody to take the pledge and submit it. And then what we challenge them with is that if they need help with their business or have questions, that if they commit to the pledge, that I'll help them, like spend an hour of my time talking with them. So it's kind of an exchange, to be able to get them to sign up too.
I love that. I love that. And how has that made a difference in your community?
Well, I mean, for us, our biggest partner is the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. And so for us, there's nothing greater that we feel like we can donate to than something that's propagating the gospel. So that's something, as a little girl, I would go on a lot of mission trips. I felt called into the mission field. And so God just kind of used me in a different way by helping raise money for that. And then also for our infant crisis services, that's one of the biggest ones. And we've been able to help hundreds of thousands of babies, making sure that they're not going hungry and that they're being clothed. And so I feel like we're creating small ripples that are going to end up creating waves. That's the big thing that we're moving towards right now. So as we grow, so does our charity, and the more that it grows, the more lives it's going to impact.
Now, tell us a little about your company and how your company works and what it does for people.
Yeah. So Quintessa Marketing. So obviously, as a little girl, I did not think about growing up and working with personal injury lawyers. Like I wasn't, spinning around in the living room thinking about that. It really happened out of a necessity, if that makes sense. So I was doing search engine optimization for some of the biggest PI lawyers, and before that, I was doing TV commercials for them, and I was their executive assistant. And really, it was just through when the economy crashed in 08 and seeing, what PI lawyers needed, seeing SEO, so search engine optimization, come about, seeing that they needed intake training, they needed help with hiring. And really, I was ranking them number one. And when you rank someone number one, there's not really anywhere else to go. So I kind of put myself out of a job. And so the thought was, if I could do it for them, I could probably develop my own brand.
Yeah.
And so really, it was just about sustaining, right? And I started it as a single mom. I had a little girl, and I was like, okay, well, if I can do this for them, I can do it for myself. And really, I didn't have an option, because I was undegreed and wasn't really able to get hired. And so started it. And so what we do is we go out into the marketplace. If someone's been injured in an accident, they see one of our brands, they call into our call center here in Oklahoma, and then we match them with a personal injury lawyer. And then on the flip side, a personal injury lawyer will come to us and say, hey, I'm trying to beat the number one TV guy. I'm just trying to get a good cost per case and develop leads in the market, and it's so expensive. Can you help me? And
Yeah.
so they can get demand generation from us. So overnight, they can get 25 new clients signed up, and it's a scalable process. And so we're really helping people and meeting people at their needs, whether they're the lawyer or whether they have been in a car accident, and we're helping educate them and then get them with the attorney.
And was there anything in your life that has inspired you to focus on injury, to help people that have been in an injury and wanted to get match them with the right lawyer and get the right, help that they needed. Was there anything that really inspired that in your life?
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of things that happened. One, I was in an accident whenever I was younger. And most people are in an accident one time in their life, right? Like you're not in multiple accidents,
Right.
unless you just have terrible luck, right? But and you just don't know what you don't know. And so, we settled our case for call it $1,000 by it, but I ended up having permanent scarring. And later on, I found out that was something that should have been settled well over $50,000. So that was one thing. But then, too, my brother, we were at one of his friends' houses, and his parents had overserved, like had given underage kids alcohol. And the party just grew through social media. And before you know it, a fight broke out. My brother tried to break it up, and he got hit over the head with a liquor bottle, had 180 stitches all the way down
Oh,
his
wow.
and has a permanent scar. And we ended up getting with an attorney who really investigated and looked for, insurance. And whenever I was able to talk to the attorney and tell them, like, this was the person, and they were able to investigate and found out that the parents had bought alcohol, they were able to go after the homeowner's policy. But if it wasn't for that, like, my parents would have had to have paid over $100,000 in medical bills. And so
Wow.
there was justice that was served there. And Taylor was able to get help, for his face. And now you can't even tell, but I mean, he had to go to different plastic surgeons. His nerve was severed. So there was just a lot that happened there, and it was like there's so many people that just don't know, because you this is not a talked about thing. You only know what you see on TV.
Exactly.
And so I wanted to sell through education, and so that's what we do now.
I love that. I've heard so many stories where people get into accidents and, the person was, didn't have a license, the person was drinking, and you hear all these different stories and the other car got hit and the person in the other car gets really severely damaged, and they go through life and they not only does it affect them physically, but it affects them emotionally. And if you have physical damage, it stays with you, the whole your whole life. life, you know. And it's something that, you know, sometimes people don't really know where to go because they don't know, you know, a good injury lawyer, or they don't have the money, and they think, you know, well, if I don't have the money, then I can't get an injury lawyer. I can't be represented, you know. And they, you know, they just deal with it because, you know, without the guidance, without the help and direction, a lot of people don't know, you know, what their choices are, what their rights are, you know, and even like, you know, who to call, you know. A lot of people don't have that access, and sometimes it also depends where you live, because there are sometimes more injury lawyers in certain areas of the country than they are other areas, and so they don't have the education, and they don't have the, you know, they don't see as much information, so they're kind of lost in, you know, and they don't know where to turn.
Yeah, and it feels sometimes like a cattle call, right? Like if their injury's not severe enough, or if they don't know. I mean, for instance, my aunt, she works with us now, but she was in an accident and she was hit by someone who was coming home from chemo and he passed out at the wheel. And she was
Oh,
like, he was an older guy. He, like, I don't want to sue him. And I'm like, listen, that's why you have car insurance. It'd be like saying, I have health insurance, but I don't want to use it at the hospital. It's like that's the whole reason that you pay for it and he pays for it. Well, she's in
right.
the hospital and she's offered $1,500. And she's like, Lauren, this is a lot of money. And I was like, no, listen, like you need to get with an attorney. So we matched her with one and they ended up settling her case for well over $400,000 because they found out all. And she ended up having neck fusions. She ended up not being able, she was a bodybuilder and a personal trainer. So that permanently, so if she would have settled, you know, right when it happened, she would have, there's, you can't undo that. And so
Yeah.
that's what we tell everyone, like the insurance is a multi-billion dollar corporation for a reason, right?
Yeah.
So they're making money off of you. Like, you know that you think that they're doing good by settling with you, but they're not. Like, they're not the good guys. That's just not what they're there for. That's what we're here for. And so, you know, we're trying to redefine what that looks like too.
Now, can anyone anywhere in the United States, you know, contact you and get help, or are you just located in a specific area and that's it?
No, so we're all throughout the United States. So our goal is, I mean, we say world domination of personal injury. So, you know, we're in the United States now. We're going to be expanding into more countries. But if someone's been injured in an accident, our goal is no matter where they are, that we can get them help.
I love that. I love that because I feel like, you know, there's so many times people just don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go, and to deal with pain is very, very hard. You know, a lot of times insurance companies will even reach out to you, and they will, you know, ask if you need, you know, a therapist to talk to, because so many people take their life because of they can't deal with the pain. You know, they just, you know, to wake up every morning and feel pain from an accident or injury, you know, your quality of life is taken from you. And, you know, if you can't get better, or maybe you don't have the insurance and you can't get the help you need, you know, that's another problem too. And there are ways to work around that also, but people don't know what their options are. So I'm glad they have someone like you to help, you know, help them and guide them in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's we didn't know what calling we were answering whenever it started. And so we now talk to about 50,000 people a month. We send about 7,000 cases a month across the United States. So it's a really fun time at Quintessa being able to see all the help that we're able to generate.
I love that. I love that. Now, you have five kids, and when you told me that, I almost fell off my chair. I have three, and that I thought when I had number three, life became chaotic. I can't even imagine having five. How are you able to create this successful company and help so many people and balance family life too? Because that's a popular topic that so many people have a hard time. How do you balance it?
Yeah, I think it's you know, one of the biggest things to me is being able to help, like ask for help. Like that's number one. So whenever you look at, you know, life, I had a really good therapist tell me one time that if you look at like a wheel, right? And a wheel has all the spokes, and the spokes are different parts of your life. So you have your family, you have your work, you have your church, you have your kids, like all these different things. And to where if your wheel's not properly aligned, it's gonna go like this, right? Like, so it's like trying to drive on that. And you can't do that for a very long amount of time, right? And so there are seasons where it's okay to be imbalanced. Like if something's really going on at work, that you can tell your spouse, like, hey, I need help for this amount of time. Like, this is what I have to have accomplished. So it's okay to miss a family dinner. It's okay. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is being able to be clear, because to be unclear is to be unkind. Like, I was always told that by my mom, and I feel like it's very good to maintain that. But then also too, there's seasons where, our oldest is 14, about to be 15. And if I have to go run an errand and she has to go with me because she wants to talk about a boy or church, like, I relish those moments. So my phone is down. And whatever work needed in that hour, it's okay, right? And so I think it's about asking for help and making sure, like, your communication with your spouse is completely on par of, like, this is what I need from you. Can you help? And also too, really, like, in our relationship, we try to outserve each other, if that makes sense, because it's like, no matter if I'm always trying to help him and if he's always trying to help me, then it's just overflowing into our family and it just really helps. So it's good communication, like, just and having an amazing relationship, right? And then lots and lots of prayer and caffeine. Like, that's also like the other couple things you got to have to make sure that it works.
I love it. Now, how has your family influenced the way you design your work systems or honor your commitments in your business?
So we make our kids, we don't make, we ask. We gently, strongly recommend that they they get on board with us giving away half. So they see the charities that we donate to, and as they get old enough, they go to the events. So they get to see, like, the ROI that these charities have from the gifts that we've given. So we get them bought in really at a very young age. And then also too, whenever we go out to eat, they know no matter how big the bill is, even if it's like a dollar pop, we always give a $100 tip. And so they know that. And so they even help, like, fill out the check and do the addition, and they understand, like, that's a big part of it. And then two, my youngest is 19 months. And one of the things I didn't want to do was have him away. So he goes with me, and so does my husband. And my husband and I work together, so that obviously makes it easier. But they go with me if it's an overnight trip. So I'm not away from all the kids all the time. Like, that's just not what we do. So we try to incorporate our family in everything. So even if it is a work trip and it's a couple hours and I'm spending the rest of the time with them. So it's all about, like, how can I ingrain the family in? Because I don't think there really and truly is a work-life separation, especially as a CEO. Like, if a as a founder, like, if a fire happens, you have to be able to handle it, and you can't have your family guilt you. But also, like, have you put in enough deposits to take a withdrawal out, right? Like, if you haven't put in time with your family, then they're not going to understand when you need to step away from a family dinner, right? It's like, oh, their mom goes again, right? As opposed to, like, no, this is not a normal thing that happens. Like, mom needs to take care of this, and you don't feel guilty for doing it. So then that way you can try to be all mom and all founder.
I love that. I love that a lot. I think it's so important that you keep everybody together. They're all taking a little bit of a part of it, you know. So I think that it makes it really, it brings the family together, and it also helps them understand the importance of giving back to society. Because a lot of times I think the biggest problem in our society is that people feel entitled and they take, when we really need to be doing the opposite, is giving and giving back and helping others, because that's really what is self, that's self-satisfaction, is when you're able to help another human being or able to help a family. That's what really brings a special momentum. And also it's a great an example, as a parent and a mentor, to show your children that.
Yeah, I mean, you've always heard, like, it's more, you're more blessed to give than to receive, right? But then also though too, I've even told entrepreneurs, I was like, even if you wanted to look at this from a selfish standpoint, I was like, listen, we've made more money giving away half than we ever would have trying to hold in, because all of our employees get to profit participate in what we do. So they're all bonus eligible. And then we are able to give them, we'll give them extra PTO if they want to go and volunteer at our charity partners. And so I think it's like, guys, how can you make them feel like I am working for more than just a company? Like, this is a calling, right? And I think when you can tie them to your purpose, like we have, you know, our company values, and the first one is purpose. And if you can tie their why to your why, I mean, you are unstoppable, right? And it doesn't work with anybody. It doesn't work with everyone, but it is something that if you can get a lot of your company to tie into it, that's whenever you're disrupting the industries. That's when you're scalable and people are like, I don't know what they've got, but I want it, right? And that's what I feel like we've been doing here.
I love that. Now, how does your core principles at Quintessa reflect those values that you hold as a parent and a business leader?
Great question. So our value, and what's funny is like my husband and I were having this conversation where like, you know, do our family values really the same as our company? And we felt like they really are. And so they spell out praise. So P is for purpose, R is for resilience, A is for accountability, I is for integrity, S is for success driven, and then E is for excellence. And so even with our kids, you know, we're like, we're gonna hold you accountable in the small things and in the big things. And then integrity, we're like, listen, if you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. It just doesn't, right? And then for
100%.
success driven, we thought, I don't care. I told them, they're like, well, how could we ever do something bigger than what you had? And like, you don't have to. But success driven is, I want you to do what you feel like God put you on this earth to do. You know, kind of back to your purpose, right? To where you're not just sitting there, you know, every day playing video games, right? Like you're out there doing something. And then whatever you do, you know, not that you have to be the best at sports, but you need to show excellence that you showed up, that you were there, that you were on time, like little things, right? And so those are the things that we've really tried to instill, you know, and we try to tie it all back to the purpose. And for us, it's the giving away 50%.
I love that. Now, one of Quintessa's marketing core principles is integrating personal values into business operations. How do you ensure this is consistently implemented across the company?
You know, we will promote through our values, and then we fire from values. So, you know, we had a situation where a person who had been here a really long time, and it was so unfortunate, they made a integrity decision, and you know, it was time card fraud, and this person had been promoted multiple times. And we found out, and it was an immediate fire just because it was like, hey, there's a loss of confidence. And so, and a lot of employees, when they saw that, they were like, man, well, if this person can get terminated, like they really mean it, because they were I mean, they were an integral part of it. But we were like, listen, like, I'm sorry, like, you just can't be here. And we wish you nothing but the best. And we hope you learn from this. But, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're at the top or whether you're at the bottom, like, it, you have to hold everyone accountable to it. So I would say that's really important for us. And then too, like in our training, like we're constantly reinforcing to where we want everyone to know, like, what does praise stand for? Like, tell us, do you know it? And that's I think when I look at success and legacy is like when everyone can be talking about it, right? And it's creating ripples throughout the organization as we grow to where we're not as big as the Titanic, but really slow to move, right? Like, that's just not what we want to have happen.
It's important to show an example, because if you don't show an example, then they think they're going to get away with it and they may do something else again, or they're showing everyone around them that, hey, look what I got away with. You have to, it's sometimes a person does have to be you showed as an example, for their wrong, especially when they do something like that, like time card fraud, because, other people see that and it's an eye opener. Like, wow, they did something like that. And, if I don't follow the rules, if I don't, abide by, what I'm supposed to do, there's a consequence that follows. And, that kind of keeps everybody in check, I think.
And again, it's unfortunate, but and people will say, well, isn't there grace? And I'm like, hey, listen, like, if this probably wasn't the first thing, like, you don't just all of a sudden do something that big, right? And but also though too, like, if we're to be unclear is to be unkind, right? We were very clear with everyone. These are the expectations. And if you break one of the values, then it could lead to termination. And
Right.
it's unfortunate, right? But, I think we've got something pretty good here. And so it's like we're keeping everyone in line, and hopefully we're really going to continue to just grow and scale.
Right. Now, how do you foster a company culture that prioritizes work-life integration instead of work-life balance?
This is a really hard conversation. If they are not tied to the why. So if they understand the purpose, that what Quintessa is here for, that we are here because we're open from 7 a to 10 p Central Standard Time 7 days a week. So we are always going. And we tell people, like, listen, people are in accidents 24/7. So they don't just stop. And we are here to help them get with an attorney. And then we, from our calling, are called to give away half our profit. So if they can tie their why to that, then it's a really easy conversation. Right now, it's not a you need to live and breathe on your phone, right? Like, but do you have the right systems? Do you have the right processes? Do you have the right people around you, right? If you don't, like, you're going to end up working too much. And so it comes to accountability, right? And it comes to the values. So we really go top down, right? Of like, we look at our executives, we see what they're doing, then we look at the VPs. So we have something that's called EOS, like the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And
Yeah.
so it defines like 3 to 5 things that each role should be doing. And if they're not doing it, then you can see where it's off kilter. So
Right.
diagnosing, it's bringing them back to par, bringing them back to the culture, to the values. So I think it's a constant like balance of looking through all the things they should be doing and making sure that they're actually doing it, and really investigating when someone says, "Hey, I'm burned out," or "I'm doing this," then I dig in and ask them, like, "Show me what you're doing, show me why." And then normally it's because there's someone else not holding up their end of the stick.
Right. Now, as a leader, what steps have you taken to ensure that employees feel empowered and supported in both their professional and personal lives?
I think one of the biggest things that we have done is we've, and this sounds minimal, but it was a big deal for us, is that we were able to give maternity leave and paternity leave. So that was
Mm-hmm.
like a really big step for us, because it's just not something that you have to do.
Right.
And so we wanted to be able to get more working moms, and that was something that we saw, and
Yeah.
established like more PTO policies, and then also give PTO for the charitable days that they have. Because we were like, well, I want to be able to work, but like I can't risk having time off. I'm like, well, okay, let's add that in. So I think it's listening. I think that's the biggest thing, listening and seeing how, as a company, can we meet them where they are. And then also, like, it's constant. I mean, we get feedback. So feedback is very, very important. And some feedback you just, is really hard to swallow. And then other feedback is like, okay, we can do that. So I think it's having an open line of communication. And then also, we like to know why our people are here, because we tell them, if you're just here for like the money, you're going to be gone. But if you're here for a bigger why, even if it's a stepping stone, then
Right.
we ask them about it. Like, hey, you said that you wanted to start your own company. How's that going? Hey, you said you want to take your whole family on a cruise. Are you close to that yet? Have you made the deposit? You said you wanted to get your real estate license. So I think it's knowing your people. And the more you know them, the more you ask questions, the more you talk to them, like the more they feel empowered just by having a conversation.
Right.
That's to me the most important thing.
I love that. Now, how has your leadership style evolved over time, especially your business, how it scaled and how your endeavors grew alongside it?
I mean, I hate saying it, but like when I first started the company, like I was in so much debt and I was working 18 hours a day, that there were toxic moments of leadership, because I was so scared the company would be taken from me just from someone else coming in.
Right.
There was a lot of mistrust, a lot of control, a lot of anxiety. And it was just because I was like a pressure cooker. And it was, I mean, I had the, now like there's lawsuits over them, but the predatory loans that were like the daily payback. And it was like, if I didn't make enough money, we said green, yellow, red, like green was I could eat out, yellow was I had to stay at home, and red was I had to go over to my mom's house and get like toilet paper, groceries, like mom and dad had to feed me for the next few days. And so unfortunately, like my leadership style was much more reactive. And now it is more of a I'm direct, I'm accountable. Like they, and because we defined the values, like now I can even hold myself to them, right? And then also my husband, he really balances me to where I can have someone to where I'm equally yoked. So I can have conversations of like, this is what I'm feeling. How do I communicate that? And then also too, really taking the time to find good leaders to surround yourself with to know that like, hey, listen, just because one leader may have made a mistake doesn't mean that this leader may do the same thing, right? Like it would be like saying, yeah, everyone's got a bad, I tell our lawyers, everyone's got a bad ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend doesn't mean you stop dating, right? And so it's the same thing like with leaders, like just because you've had a bad employee, you don't stop hiring. You find the right team, you build them around you, and you continue to just grow and scale. So, I think it's changed a lot.
I love it. No, it definitely has. I could just tell from the way you were talking in the beginning to now, it definitely evolved and definitely you're like, it's like A and Z, black and white.
Yeah,
It's
not perfect. I'm working progress always.
always changes is definitely a way to getting better and better, because as time grows, so does the way we do things and the way we have to, look at our businesses and see, what changes have to be made and so forth. Now, what kind of legacy do you want to leave for your family, with that?
I mean, for me, like when people say like, what's your legacy? Like what is that defined as? And to me, I'm like, I want my kids want to be around me, right? Like the Give 50 pledge is amazing, right? Like, but that's my calling. It doesn't mean that's their calling. But I hope that when my kids get older, one, that they want to come home. Every Sunday we're over at my mom's house and I have three siblings and there's 13 grandkids altogether. And we go over there. And so I really want the same thing for my kids. I want my kids to want to come home. Right. And then because, the money will fade away, your business will fade away, but like your family, that's all you have. That's really important. So to me, it that they saw like, man, like my mom was all mom, she was all wife. She was able to do this and create a lot of things, but man, she was still there for me and everything. And that they still feel close. Like that to me is the most important thing.
Oh, 100%. And I think, our children, like we mentioned earlier in a conversation, they learn by example. So when we show this example, like you show the 50-cent pledge, that is so meaningful. I don't even think you realize how big of an impact you're probably making on your children's lives by doing that, because you're showing them that, it's you need to give back. You need to show that, care and gratitude and love towards others. And that's huge. Like I mentioned earlier, you see less and less of that in our society nowadays. And you're continuing such a great, characteristic and behavior in your children's lives that they're going to take and they're going to follow through, because parents play such a big role in their children's lives. And to see their parents be so given and so loving, you're making such an impact on your children's lives. I think sometimes we don't realize the impact we make on our kids' lives, but everything we do, everything we say, every example that we show makes a huge impact on how our children, view life and what they do in the future as they become young adults.
Yeah, and I just, we t I told my husband we were chatting, and I was like, I just want our kids because obviously they've got their life is not what our lives were growing up, right? It's very different. I'm like, I want them to be contributing members of society. Like you see a lot of kids that raise up with, unprecedented opportunities, wealth, whatever you want to call it, and they squander. Or they're spoiled. And I'm like, it won't happen. Like, not with our kids. Like, so whether, like, well, my friends, I'm like, sorry, You're not at that friend's house. Like, you're here. Like, this is welcome to the Mingies. Like, this is what we're gonna do here. So it's a little bit different than what some people do, but it's okay.
I love it. Now, can you share one piece of advice for the entrepreneurs who want to incorporate your idea of giving back to their businesses but don't know where to begin?
I would tell them, so there is spontaneous generosity, right? And then there's intentional generosity. That to me ends up being irrational. And so spontaneous is, and I don't know if you guys have Sonics in New Jersey, but like just say it's a drive-through, right? And so I would drive through and be like, man, I feel led to give $20 to this.
Right.
And you would see like a car hop like melt. And then, if we gave 100, they're like, this is exactly the amount I needed for this, right? So if you feel led to do something, do it, right? Like that to me would be very important. But then when it becomes intentional generosity, I would say if you can tie it to something much bigger than you, so if there's something you're passionate about or that your spouse is passionate about, then you start working towards that. And if it was, I just want to give $500 or $100 to this because I want to see what it can do. You find the charity that you want to invest in. You ask them what that's going to give you, what the ROI is, and you do like don't be afraid to ask, right? Because you
Right.
make sure it's going towards the actual need of that charity and not towards the salaries, right? Like I want to know that if I invest and we're bullish about it, like if I spend X, what is it? Tell me about why. And
Yeah.
so we grill like any charity partner that we work with. And if they are not financial stewards, we feel like we've been called to stewardship. And if we feel like our partners aren't, then we won't partner with them. So I would
Right.
say if you could find something that you're passionate about in whatever way, shape, or form, then it's a really easy thing to try and donate, 100, 500, whatever to. And then when you see that, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're competitive, then you start being like, okay, what else can I do? Right?
Right.
Like we were always told like you cannot give God. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, at least I could try. Like I can see how much of an impact I can do.
Yeah.
And when you start finding the right partners and then you tie your mission to their mission, then it becomes irrational generosity of like
Right.
this crazy 50% thing that we've done. And then it came through a lot of prayer, right? Like lots of because we took our own pledge. It was February of 20. And then the very next month, COVID hit. So, like,
Wow.
did I tell you, like, our first check was written with like scribbles? It was because I was like, I committed to this, God, but I don't know if I can do it because we've lost half of our attorneys because they were in LA and New York.
Oh,
And
wow.
so COVID shut, I mean, it shut down because people weren't driving. And
Yeah.
I'm like, Leo, can we do this? And we stepped out in faith. And we did it, and it did. It just came back tenfold. So I just think, like, when you do something bigger than you and whatever you believe in, like, it will come back. It may not be that day, it may not be tomorrow, but like, you are helping and you're able to know too. Like, I was able to generate this ROI through this
Yeah.
charity for what I was called to do.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, what's next for Quintessa Marketing, and what's your mission of generosity in the future?
Well, I mean, it's world domination and personal injury, right? So we our goal is to become, a billion-dollar company. Like that is what we're doing. We're doing it here in Oklahoma and Middle America, not in LA, not in New York. So it's exciting to do it in somewhere that people are like, you're from where? And you do what? Like it makes no sense. Doing it here out of Oklahoma, that's really exciting. And then still just maintaining to give away 50% of our profit. So the more we grow, the more people we can help, and the more we can expand. So that's really what's on the horizon.
I love that. Now, if you had to take today's conversation, you wanted to pull out some important factors, what are some things you'd like to emphasize to the listeners?
I would say I think I've been asked a lot lately about the work-life balance. So I think about work-life integration is really big to be able to talk through. And then also I would say tying your why to something bigger than you, right? Something more than just making money and putting it in your own pockets and then helping your employees do the same thing, like knowing what your employees' why is so that you can help them stay more ingrained in your company and grow more and
I love it. I love it. Now, can you tell everybody about the services and how they can contact you and where should they go?
So, if you want to know about just like our philanthropy and kind of what we're doing, my Instagram handle is at the Lauren Vaughn. That's probably the best to kind of follow all things that we're doing, whether I'm speaking at different places or seeing what Quintessa is doing. And then as far as like personal injury goes, whether someone's been injured in an accident or whether they're a lawyer and they want to know more about our services, quintessamarketing.com is the best place to be able to reach out there.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Lauren. I thank you so much for coming on this show. I think what you're doing is amazing. And you don't hear companies giving away 50% of their profit. It's very rare. And I think the generosity that you have and how you're helping so many people is just phenomenal. And I commend you for everything you're doing and the lives that you're helping to change for the better, is just outstanding. It's wonderful. And thank you. We need more Laurens around the world. And I way things are going, I think we will have a lot of Laurens around the world because hopefully in the next year or two, like you mentioned, you're going to be expanding to all different areas and all different countries. And for now, the changes you're making for the people in the United States alone is amazing. It's outstanding. I think you're doing a fantastic
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. What a great compliment.
Well, you have a great day, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks so much.
You have a great day.